For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Monday. Talk to Hunter Henry this hour. Talk to the always chatty Christian Gonzalez next hour.
High noon for Gonzo.
Scheduled.
Yeah. He wasn't mic'd up this week, so maybe he saved some of his best stuff for us.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, maybe.
A little on the cutting room floor for us.
I don't know.
Leftovers?
Yeah, perhaps.
We'll take you around the NFL coming up about 20 minutes from now with what happened in week 9 of the NFL. So stay tuned for it. I wanted to get in Alex Van Pelt in a moment. A couple of texts, 37937, as usual. Jones, your MO is blaming someone for something. They did lose the game. Like, I'd just like to point that out.
Who lost?
They did lose the game yesterday.
Bite your tongue.
And so they didn't win. Call me crazy, but it feels like it's a day for a little bit of blame.
They're going to lose a lot of them.
They are going to lose a
they
lot
They already
of them.
Have lost a
are
lot
you?
Of them.
And I've seen a lot of these texts. I can pull up some of the specific
some
ones.
Some of them are from me. I've been texting at 37937.
But I've seen a lot of these today where it's like, oh, good, they lost. I wanted them to lose.
No, I wasn't of the wanted them to lose, but this is also why.
They are number one right now. In the season ends today. They're picking first.
Hell yeah.
No,
but this is also why I am so strongly in the go for two category, because if you go for two, maybe you win, maybe you add to the highlight montage, maybe you add to the rookie year of Drake May, including the comeback win against Tennessee, where he has the crazy play at the end to force or to put you down one. You go for two, you win the game, like hey, road win, blah blah blah, or worst case, you lose and you're the number one pick. Like, okay. So as a fan, I think
and
you can
still
have,
send a strong message to your locker room,
that's
which we
what
talked
I
about.
So,
it's like you lose the game, but you went down swinging, believing in the quarterback, believing
definitely.
In the offense, and you lose. And for all the people who want a tank and get the first pick, you make them happy too.
Worst case scenario, you have the number one pick. You don't pull the Matt Castle the year with Belichick wanted to play the Jaguars in the first round, go for two, throw it in the third row.
Right, you're not doing that.
But like that's why it really was kind of a win-win. I'm not worried about the pick right now. I would worry about the pick if they didn't have a quarterback and they were chasing a quarterback and they needed to have like one of the best guys available. And if it was
Jacoby Brissett and you right, if it was Jacoby Brissett and you don't have Drake May and you're playing the Titans, I go, you better lose this game. This is an important game.
Well, like last year, the perfect example. Last year, you have Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, and you're a horrible team. You're ping ponging back and forth. Chad Ryland kicks that field goal against Denver. I was pissed. Whereas this year, if Drake May drives them down and they score and they win the game, great, good for you. Part of the learning experience, like part of the whole thing. But yeah, if the side benefit is you end up with the number one pick, like I certainly will take it. Like that's fine. But no, I'm not actively rooting for losses. Now, last week of the season,
different story. Totally different story.
Like,
I agree.
Right after Halloween, like no, just try to win.
I wanted them to win yesterday, and they could have won that game yesterday. And I am not in the crowd that says, oh, good, they lost. They have the number one pick. Great. Hold on to it. Lose every game. I don't want Drake May to lose every game.
I mean,
he's going to lose games. They're a bad team. They might lose every game. Keith, we went through the schedule last week.
It's not ideal. That was the most winnable game, at least on paper. Upsets happen all the time, but that's the most winnable game they had.
Yeah, for sure. And so I also factor that in. I mean, I know Drake May individually put up a lot of production. Tennessee's also garbage on the other side. I mean, they're among the worst teams in the league.
They are a better defense than offense.
They are a better defense.
So, like, Drake May's challenge
and they're
is
a
more
good
so
run
than
defense.
Their defense.
But, yeah, no, that's true.
The greatest run defense of all time based on yesterday.
He's facing a good defense on the other side better than their offense. I'll acknowledge
that. Yeah.
But they're a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
So you can jump in on all this. What'd you think of Drake May's day? Was it more good than bad? More bad than good. They did lose the game. There were turnovers. He made a spectacular play at the end of regulation to force overtime. They went to overtime because Mayo didn't go for two. Do you have a problem with that? You can jump in on all of it. 617-779-7937. We'll get to you coming up. A lot of criticism already, Keith, on the text line and on the calls for Alex Van Pelt. I was giving Van Pelt some credit last week when they beat the Jets. You know, he was able to get them to a season high in points. I think they scored 25 last week with Jacoby Brissett. They were able to figure that out. I didn't love his play calling going into the half against the Jets, but I was giving him some credit. And I think there was a school of thought that you got to give him some credit for the development of Drake May. I would have gone to May in week one.
Right.
But I still would give Alex Van Pelt some credit somewhere along the line for developing a promising young quarterback, a quarterback who looks really good. When it comes to yesterday, how'd you feel about Alex Van Pelt? Because right before the half, I was ready to fire him on the spot.
Yeah, that was insane. I mean, I think they've had issues with halftime and final possessions and everything else. And it's funny because I feel like the last couple of weeks, when you've looked at the final stats, it tells a different story than when you're just living it and you're watching it and it's play-by-play, because they threw twice as much as they ran yesterday. Now, that also includes the Drake May runs, which aren't designed runs.
Correct.
So they really called for significantly more pass plays, and yet every time they ran it, it felt like, all right, you don't have it. Like, why are you running it? No, just so it can be second and 10?
It felt like it was every first down.
Yes.
Obviously, that's not the case, but that's what it felt like.
Yeah, so in real time, it looks horrible. And so now you're making this guy, this rookie quarterback, play second long every single time. And then if there happened to be like an incompletion, or there were so many short throws, and you're setting up these short throws and you're trying to make these guys, like, you don't have a lot of, crazy talented, make the defense miss type of players where get them in open space and then they let them figure it out. And they're getting tackled like pretty close to right away. So then now it's 3rd and 7, and it just seems like you're always behind. So, no, Van Pelt, I agree with you. I thought after last week, out of all the coaches, he clearly was trending up, right? Gerard Manning, everybody had their issues with DeMarcus Covington. We're even like, all right, how good is the defense right now?
Right.
And Van Pelt, you're like, all right, they're scoring a little bit more. You know, he had Drake May start the game, go down. They still were able to figure it out and get a win and put up, like you said, a season high in points. But it's a lot of the same stuff, and it just doesn't seem like it's a very imaginative offense at all.
Well, and that drive right before halftime, again, and you're right, this happens, it's seemingly every week outside of May's first start against Houston.
And Gerard Mayo would tell you they're like 12 steps ahead. But for some reason, like the last drive, or quote-unquote drive of the half a week ago with Jacoby Brissett, I've never seen anything like that. It was like run, like successful run, clock bleeding down, and then Brissett, like a fake tush push.
Like a glorified knee.
Like a knee, like run to the side.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like, ew,
yeah.
Like don't do that again.
So on this drive, it was maddening because they throw for a first down.
Yeah.
They get the ball with 1:48 left before halftime. You're getting the ball to start the second half. You're down 7-3. So a field goal would be very useful. A touchdown would be great. And they throw to Kendrick Bourne, 14 yards. They throw to Bourne, 9 yards. 2nd and 1, stuffed. 3rd and 1, stuffed. And you haven't been running on them all half.
No, but the 1st, 2nd, 1 was Hasty.
Correct.
So of all guys, what are we doing with a JerMichael Hasty run at that point?
It was like a little draw, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. He's in shotgun. You're trying to like catch him off guard. And it's JerMichael Hasty. Exactly.
If you count Drake May, he's the 4th best running back on the roster. Like, why hand him the ball there? It's not like Stevenson was tired from all the carries.
No.
It's not like, I mean, you didn't even really use Gibson.
So I hated that sequence. Hated that sequence.
No, not only that, it was... What stands out about it is, so two successful plays to Kendrick Bourne, run to Hasty, then they do bring Ramondre in, he runs, gets tackled, so now it's 4th and 2, punt. So on 3rd and 1, at your 38, why don't you throw it? Why don't you throw it at that point? Or, like you'd been doing earlier in the game, call a pass, Drake May might decide to run.
And
all he needs
pick it
is
up,
a yard.
Pick
yeah,
it
all he needs is a yard to keep it going.
No, it's a good call. So, like, you want to run
on
one.
And then you had to get a stop because you gave the ball back to Tennessee. They're up by 4.
Oh, well, if you remember what happened, Behringer
shanked
had
it.
The 15-yard
yeah,
punt. And
yeah.
Somehow Tennessee did not get points out of that.
No, they
did.
Well, they suck.
But between your crappy special teams and your crappy play calling, yeah, you almost handed them points right before the half.
Oh, I think most teams in the league would have capitalized on that. Like, that's a Tennessee offense thing.
Yeah, for
that's,
sure.
That's for them.
And so, with Alex Van Pelt.
No, but like that, they've never figured out what they've wanted to do at the end of half. So that's why it's laughable that Mayo says we're always 12 steps ahead. It's like, no, you're not. You don't know if you're going to go for 2 or kick the point, because you probably didn't even think you were going to score, to be honest. You're not even thinking that far ahead. At the end of these halves,
right,
what are
score,
you doing?
May scrambles around, they score, and he goes, what are we doing? Are we going for 2 or are we not, Evan? Like, that's how far ahead they
are. But, like, they run these plays at the end of the half, and I don't know if they're thinking either, like, I don't know, we either score here or we don't. And it's like, well, then if you do, what if it's, like, a decent play? What if it's a 14-yarder?
Right.
Then a 9-yarder. Now what?
They're lost.
Run?
No, they feel lost.
Like, why are you running now?
Well, it's because the guy's never called plays before.
That's
like, consistently, he's never called plays before. He doesn't have a feel for it. I also agree with something you said earlier. I'm okay with mixing in some short throws. I like these little short throws to Pop Douglas. Like, I'm okay with mixing those in. And I get that your offensive line had, it felt like their worst day in a while yesterday. They could not block that Tennessee front.
Right.
So I get all that. But you still got to dial up some plays down the field. Now, ironically, one of them was a pick that he threw in overtime. But I didn't feel like they were testing you know, deep and intermediate really for much of that game yesterday.
No.
And that felt like a philosophical issue or a game plan thing going into the game, where that to me would go back to Alex Van Pelt. You have a kid with a strong arm. I know you're having trouble protecting him,
yeah,
but I still think you got to test that area of the field, or else Tennessee is going to start inching up and knocking the crap out of these receivers at the line of scrimmage, which is what happened.
Did you like Jalen Polk's afternoon?
Oh,
he was
wonderful.
Back. Big bounce back for Polk.
Yeah.
Did
he get in the Bozo touchdown parlay?
He didn't score.
Oh,
okay. He didn't really get many opportunities. He had one target, I believe, for zero catches. He did have two penalties, though.
Nice.
So you know that he played.
Yeah, Mayo let him off the hook for both of them today.
Yeah, kind of bad calls.
No, not on him.
We're not going to trash the refs, but like that wasn't a hold. No. Nor did he, like, that was Drake May's fault that he didn't line up right. Oh, yeah? He stinks. He is beyond bad, but there are other issues to talk about today. But I mean, Jalen Polk, not exactly a bounce back after what he'd been saying.
And I will say this, that's what we were asking for. We wanted him to play. We wanted Baker to play. We did not want Thornton or Osborne, both of whom feel like they're gone. And so I thought that was progress. They were inactive yesterday.
I'm soured on Booty with that last play.
Yeah, you've been down on him.
I think that sucks. Like that, like you got to at least try to make a play. Maybe it's not the perfect throw. There's a defender there, but that's the game. That's ball game. So even if it's offensive pass interference, like do something.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just like ran. And then when you watch the play, even at the end, he's like there's nothing there. There's no effort there.
But that is what I wanted. Those are the receivers wanted playing yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. No Thornton Osborne. Like, okay, maybe that's a good sign
they all
for
stink.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
They all stink, but that's what I wanted out there yesterday. So I'll give him that. Again, Thornton and Osborne inactive. They were both healthy scratches. Kyle Duggar also inactive yesterday with a quote-unquote injury.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Could he be moving at the trade deadline tomorrow? We'll get to that later on this hour. We have Hunter Henry joining us here on a Patriots Monday, and we'll take you through Week 9. What happened right after trending?
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Billy Lanning. Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keith. We're going to get to what happened, take you through Week 9 of
busy
the NFL.
Week. Oh, what a busy week in the NFL.
Such a busy week. A
lot happening.
So busy.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take you back through that coming up in a little bit. We're also going to talk to Hunter Henry here on a Patriots Monday.
We're efforting Hunter Henry. Another good week.
Very good week.
Hunter Henry.
Thought he got hurt at one point.
Oh, yeah, didn't look good. But he had a productive week. Led the team in catches with 7. Well, tied with Pop. But he had led the team in yards, 56 yards. Targeted 8 times. He's one of Drake May's favorite guys, you can tell.
He is.
And because he catches the ball. Honestly.
That would have him moving up my personal list.
I think that's one of the reasons why Drake May throws it to him.
I can only watch Booty and Pop Douglas and Javon Baker from the preseason, Jalen Polk. I can only watch them drop so many passes.
I know.
Before I say, I'm going to throw to Hunter Henry again.
That's true.
Fair enough. Meanwhile, the trade deadline is tomorrow, Keith.
And that's the only thing tomorrow. There's nothing else in the world going on tomorrow.
Anything else
other than
significant
the trade deadline
going on tomorrow. We're going to be locked in on that.
Yep. You hear all the ads for the trade deadline? A lot of ads.
A lot of coverage.
My neighbor has a sign up trade deadline. Can't wait.
Wall-to-wall coverage.
My neighbor's had a giant flag up,
people
actually.
People are like, buy. People are like, sell. Just screaming at each other. Just very, very aggressive.
That's right. Yep. People are passionate about both sides.
Thornton and Osborne both healthy scratches yesterday.
Good.
Are they going to get traded, or are they just going to get outright kicked off the team?
I think Thornton maybe would just eventually get cut. I don't think anybody would want him. I know somebody was at Orlovsky or somebody was trying to be like, he's fast. You're like, yeah, he's been fast his whole life.
It was Breer.
Oh, Breer was like, he's fast. Coaches want him to be fast. He's played for a number of coaches. None of them been able to do anything with him. Osborne's at least a veteran in the league, and I wonder if teams can look at the Vikings tape and be like, hey, maybe we can get something here. But all you would get is honestly like a pick swap. It'd be like, hey, how about Osborne and a 7th for our 6th? And if you're the Patriots, like, you want to move up 30 spots just to get rid of Osborne? Sure.
Yeah, I would take that.
I would do that.
I would have cut him after week one. We were on the air after week one, and I'm like, I don't need to see this guy anymore.
So I would have cut him as soon as he posted that thing on Instagram where he's like, my friend thinks I'm good.
And I had to hear Mayo today. I think it was in his press conference, not on the Greg Hill show. But he was asked about KJ Osborne, like, cheering on after the touchdown. And they're like, he was a healthy scratch, but like he was still into it. And Mayo's like, yeah, we need more guys like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you don't need more guys like him.
He's the guy.
You need fewer guys like that. In fact, he's been a bad teammate.
He's probably celebrating because he knows his time is almost done here.
He's so happy.
I'm going to be out of here real quick. Like Josh Uche, imagine going one day on this Patriots team, then you wake up the next day on the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Osborne, not saying he goes to the Chiefs, but like
out
he goes
of Shawshank
like that.
Type of situation.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, I'm not saying he's going to really capitalize, and I don't think you're going to kick yourself that he's gone. But yeah, you see those two guys being inactive just like the week before. Uche was inactive, and then what, he got traded on Monday or Sunday even? Yeah. No, Monday, right?
Yeah, so this seems to be an indication those guys are going to get dealt. We'll see. Maybe it's today, maybe it's tomorrow. Meanwhile, Ian Rappaport says, could the Patriots buy?
Huh?
They could.
What are they buying?
Similar to what the Bears did last year. I've brought this up before.
Yeah.
New England could use the trade deadline to beef up its young talent base, quote unquote.
They need to beef it up, all right.
And start free agency early. They've already called on several players on the market. And despite most assuming they'll sell, which is possible, they could also buy in the right situation with the player who would be part of the Patriots' future. The analogy he's bringing up is Montez Sweat.
I'm not against that.
Me either.
By any stretch. But you're not giving up any. I wouldn't give up anything of value right now. You know, meaning a first, second, or third round pick. I think after that, like, okay, any day three pick.
I would listen on a third because you have an extra from the Judon trade. So I would listen on a third if you're getting a good enough player. I would listen on.
Yeah, I guess it. I guess it probably depends because I just want to make sure that there's no guarantee of this, that you're a major player in free agency, and they had a lot of money to spend this offseason, spent it on their own guys, and then saved it.
Right.
So I want them to be a player in that.
One should not preclude the other, but
it shouldn't.
You don't trust them. And I don't blame you for not trusting them on that.
But also, I wonder, specifically when it comes to your two biggest needs of offensive line and wide receiver, if you're trading one of your third-round picks, it better be for one of those two spots. I'm not trading a third-round pick for like a linebacker, and then you're like, wait, what?
No. I need help at somewhere obvious on offense to help Drake May. I would consider moving a third-round pick for that.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Diana Rossini, I know you're a big fan of her reporting.
Should be right. This might be her first one.
She says New England defensive tackle Devon Godchow is available, and the Niners know it. Well, that's good.
So he's not going to the Niners.
cross them right off the
Based
list.
On just recent history. I'm not saying she's Ofer, but... It's not been great.
I like how just they know it, not the whole thing.
They're aware. Well, you're telling the world now, Diana, so I think everybody knows.
The Patriots are also open to moving wideouts Tyquan Thornton and Kendrick Bourne, which we discussed.
The New England Patriots love Jarrett Stidham.
Love that guy. They couldn't get enough of Jarrett Stidham.
Couldn't get him on the field, but they really like him.
Never would play him.
She says Tyquan Thornton and Kendrick Bourne, who played yesterday.
Yeah, they're available.
As well as safety Kyle Duggar.
So this is very intriguing to me because all the Godchow maybe some value. I like Godchow. The other two, it's just like, okay, those are just bodies. Those are just players that have a locker in the NFL. Kyle Duggar, you just extended. Second round pick, was a solid safety. I don't know where he ranks in the league, but he's good. And so there might be some actual return there. And by actual return, I mean, you know, third round pick or something like that. You're not getting too high of a pick, but that's also one of your like leaders and one of your guys that's been around the team for a long time. So that's more of a shock. That's more of a, are you trying to change what's in the locker room as well as what's on the field? The other guys barely have any impact. Kyle Duggar is an interesting name to come up.
To me, I never liked that they transition tagged him. I never got that. I don't think he's that special of a player. And so I wasn't gung-ho about them re-signing him, but whatever. It's just money. Better to spend money than not spend it. And so I didn't have a huge issue with it, but, like, I didn't need him back. And I don't think he's all that good. I think he's terrible in the passing game. He's good coming up on running backs and, you know, around the line of scrimmage.
Moving forward, not moving back. He's not great in the pass game, but he's still probably, and this is a low bar, there's not a lot of talent on the team. Is he one of the five best players on the team?
Oh, probably.
That's what I'm saying.
And so, to me, if they move Kyle Duggar, I wouldn't have a big issue with it in a vacuum. I would just look at their offseason again and go, what the hell was the plan? This is one of the guys you prioritized.
You brought in
this was
your plan. You signed Jacoby Brissett.
And
you re-signed Kyle Duggar.
Now you're trading him a few months later. Right. Like, that's odd. That's where I would look at it. I wouldn't have a big problem with trading Kyle Duggar.
You also re-signed Josh Uche. Now, I know the contract wasn't the same.
Yeah.
But that was another guy that like you brought
that's
back.
True. That's another guy you and brought back just to move
seven
on
seven games later, you trade him for nothing.
So there would be a trend with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's follow that leading up to the deadline tomorrow. Meanwhile, as we await Hunter Henry, Keith.
Yes.
Might as well take you back through week 9.
Let's get through it.
Let's do it.
And, couldn't sit happened? On the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with...
What happened?
...on Jones and Keefe. This.
I need the music. Where's the music? Where's the
bomb,
music?
Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Oh, doctor! Here we go. Week 9 in the NFL, and boy, was there a lot of action, Jones. Hopefully you're sitting down out there. Let's start in the AFC East. Dolphins and the Bills.
I said, hey, what happened?
What happened?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. This one came down to the end.
61-yard try for the lead. It is. Oh, it's. He's got it. He's got it. He's got it.
Oh. Kevin Harlan on the call. Bills with a almost walk-off. That was late in the game. 61-yarder for Tyler Bass. The 60-yard field goals, Jones, are flying around the NFL this year. 30-27, your final in a back-and-forth affair. Bills are now 7-2. Dolphins fall to 2-6.
Yeah, no Amari Cooper for Buffalo yesterday.
No.
Nothing out of Keon Coleman. They still win that game. Josh Allen's great. Do we just now accept the Dolphins are terrible? I thought Tua was going to come back and they'd be fixed.
They've lost. They were right there, though.
They were right there.
They were right there. 61-yarder.
Yeah, 2-6. And they were down. They were down the whole day. They did force a tie late in the game.
But they'll. My guess is they're 2-6. They'll finish 7-10.
Okay.
I bet they'll win more than they lose the rest of the way.
So they'll turn it around.
But
okay.
They won't, yeah, that's
so
my
disagree.
Guess.
They're not terrible.
Jalen Waddle deciding to run 30 yards backwards in a straight line at the end of the game was an interesting choice.
So is that what happened? Because I look at my thing. I didn't play Jalen Waddle because that was a big
Keith,
smart play by me.
Keith was complaining about this at intermission of the Bruins last
Dude,
night.
Dude, Waddle had negative yards receiving.
He ran backwards. I think he ran backwards. I think it was 27 or 24
Got it.
Yards.
So that's what happened.
So he probably cost people the game
probably.
Based on that.
Yeah.
Nonsense at the end of the game, but there you go. Yeah, no, they're like at least a functional team now and like a high scoring offense, but they've dug themselves way too big of a hole, so yep. they're in trouble. What about the Raiders and the Bengals?
What happened?
Old buddy Mike Gesicki getting it done.
Pressure from Crosby as if on cue. Burrow gets away, throws to the end zone, and a diving catch at the back of the end zone for Mike Gesicki with the touchdown, his first as a Bengal.
Bengals 41-24 over the Raiders, who fired their offensive coordinator today, Luke Getsy. Bengals are 4-5. Raiders are 2-7. Joe Burrow threw for not one, not two, not three, not four, but five Woo. Touchdowns in the win.
Did you see his pick? The Jack Jones pick six?
Oh, Jack Jones. Yes.
It was a real bad interception by Burrow, but short of that, phenomenal day yesterday. Mike Gesicki in the end zone twice.
Not bad. Chargers and the Browns.
What happened?
Well, the Browns kind of turned back into a pumpkin.
Herbert, Dobbins, bounces to the edge, and it's Dobbins in! Touchdown!
J.K. Dobbins, two rushing touchdowns in the Chargers' win over the Browns, 27-10. Chargers 5-3. Browns 2-7 after beating Baltimore last week behind Jameis Winston. But the story here, Jones, is Friday afternoon, or mid-morning, I guess, as we're getting ready to start our show, Chris Schein pops in and he goes, guys, I got one for you.
I got a lock for you.
Got a lock for you. I go, all right, Schein, I could use all the locks I could get. He goes, over 225 passing yards for Justin Herbert. I said, say no more. And he gave us a bunch of stats. I was like, that's enough.
Right, whatever.
That's enough.
Said lock, over, I got it.
282 passing yards.
Nice.
Hit the over. Hit it pretty convincingly.
So your bet won.
No, because I parlayed that with Pat's money line, so I, of course, lost. But thank you, Scheinman, for that one winner. I mean, provide a winner.
If we just listened to Scheinman stop there, would have been a nice winner. The Schein came off Jameis Winston, by the way.
Like,
I burst out laughing at one of his picks yesterday because it was
He had a hard time. He had a hard go of it. And, Chargers are kind of cat in the grass right now. Nobody's talking about the Chargers. 5-3?
I would expect them in the frisky tier tomorrow. Not to give away Tuesday.
No. Oh, they are born frisky, I would say. What about the Broncos and the Ravens?
Hey, what happened?
This one was a little lopsided.
It's Henry. It's Henry. Outside. It's Henry. It's Henry for the touchdown again.
What kind of call was that?
That was ridiculous.
It's Henry.
It's Henry.
It's Henry.
It's Henry. It's Henry.
I thought it was repeating.
I thought it was like that MacGruber sex scene for a second. He's like, I'm about to. It's Henry.
It's Henry.
That's uncomfortable. I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
It's Henry. It's Henry. Outside. It's Henry. It's Henry for the touchdown again.
Good Lord. Two touchdowns on the ground for King Henry. You can't bet Henry anytime touchdowns. It's like minus 280.
Oh, you have to do two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns,
that's
which
how you
he
have to
also
bet
gets. Yeah. So 23 carries, 106 yards, and two touchdowns. He's up to 11 touchdowns
Woo!
On the season. Lamar Jackson threw three, including two to Zay Flowers, who had a big game.
Ravens he's
blowout.
Fine. There was a big discussion about whether or not he's healthy in practice all week. I guess he's fine.
No, he's going to be just fine.
Your guy, Bo Nix, caught a pass. Caught a touchdown.
Caught a touchdown.
Yeah, how about
Bo
that?
Nix killing it.
Very versatile.
That was the only touchdown they scored as a team. Ravens 6-3. Broncos 5-4. Bo Nix still a winning record through nine games.
Yeah.
Not bad. What about the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Philadelphia Eagles?
What happened?
Well, this was a game where the Eagles were up big. Jaguars come storming back. They're down five, have the ball with an opportunity to win it late.
The Jags do whatever they want.
Lawrence has time, looking for Johnson, and it's picked off!
N'Kobe Dean. I wanted them to draft him a couple years ago in the first round.
Like a stone?
Yeah. I think take him in the first or the second or the third. Why is he dropping? Where's he going?
Nice play. Should have drafted him.
Highlight of this game, though, was Saquon Barkley did a spin move and then a reverse hurdle, which I don't think has ever been done before.
No, you showed me this yesterday. I had not seen the play.
He turned around, jumped over a guy with his back to him.
Ridiculous.
It was sick. And they were wearing the Kelly Greens.
Oh,
man,
that's a nice jersey.
What a nice jersey.
That's a team that's going to show up and beat the Jaguars when they're wearing those.
Matches the hat, too.
Oh, really nice. Real nice.
Saquon had a monster game. Jalen Hurts didn't take all his touchdowns this week, so that was fun to see. What about the Lions and the Packers?
Here is Gibbs. First down and more. Gibbs in for the touchdown.
Tom?
Hello?
Oh.
Tom Brady. Thomas Edward.
Wow.
Oh.
There you go. Wow.
Yeah. Good job.
$37 million, I think, for that.
Great insight.
Holy mackerel.
By Brady yesterday.
Good game. Two good teams. Lions get the win. 24-14 over the Packers. Detroit is 7-1. Green Bay falls to 6-3. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a touchdown, and Sonic and Knuckles were back at it again. So Lions are rolling. Lions, are they the best team in the league?
Well,
no.
We're going to do the tiers tomorrow. All they might be. They're certainly going to be on a high tier. I will say this.
Okay.
Lions go outside. They win for the first time. Campbell, very adamant. They can beat you anywhere.
They'll
rain, snow, parking mud,
lot.
Whatever. Parking lot.
Bars.
They'll do it.
Wherever the game is. Quicksand.
When you got Sonic and Knuckles out there, as you said, Keith, it goes a little easier.
This could be their year.
Jordan Love? Looked like they rushed him back. I give him credit for playing, but he didn't look right.
No, he did not. What about the Rams and the Seahawks? Well, this one went to overtime.
Second down at 6. Fake to Williams. Stafford.
Rams with a walk-off in overtime, 26-20. L.A. now 4-4. Seattle falls to 4-5. In the loss, though, Geno Smith, 363 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 7 for 180 and 2.
Yeah, and he had the tying touchdown.
He had the tying touchdown. DeMarcus Robinson had 2 touchdowns for the Rams. Cooper Kupp had a pretty good game, over 100 yards. Puka Nacua got thrown out for throwing a punch.
Yeah, I thought he was a pretty mild-mannered guy.
Turns out, no.
All fired up.
They must have said the right thing to him.
Rams, are we buying them? They feel like they figured
solid.
It out.
Yep. Yeah, I think solid for sure. They could be a wild card team. What about an NFC beast matchup between the Commanders and the Giants?
Hey, what happened?
McLaurin top of your screen. Looking that way, the throw. That's Terry McLaurin has his second touchdown catch of the day with a head shaker against the Banks. What a dagger from the Commanders. 6 seconds before the half.
Commanders would hold on to a 27-22 win over the Giants. Jaden Daniels, 2 touchdown passes, both to Terry McLaurin. Washington 7-2, New York 2-7.
I wouldn't totally sleep on that Commanders defense, by the way. Like, Jaden Daniels gets a lot of headlines there.
Yeah.
I think Daniel Jones had no yards passing at halftime yesterday.
Ew.
He was 4 for 6 for no yards.
Not good.
And so,
with a touchdown pass, though.
Yeah, and a touchdown run. Like, look, the game got kind of close at the end-ish. But yeah, Washington, I think, is a more complete team than just Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
I'll keep an eye.
Right. The NFC version of Patriots and Titans was Saints and Panthers.
What happened?
They go to Hubbard, and Hubbard slides through the defense, breaks through the 5 toward the end zone, slides in safely. Touchdown, Hubbard, and the Panthers are back on top.
Panthers would get the win, 23-22. Both Carolina and New Orleans are now 2-7, 7 straight losses for the Saints. So today they fired their head coach, Dennis Allen.
Nice.
See you later.
And Carolina's going to stick with Bryce Young?
They won. Yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, it was kind of crazy. Andy Dalton got banged up in an automobile accident.
Yeah, Young's been a little better after the time off. I still don't think he's good, but I bet they probably stick with him.
All right, what about the Bears and the Cardinals?
What happened?
You're there to throw. You only run when you have to.
It's DeMercado breaking away. DeMercado goes the distance. Touchdown, Cardinals.
Cardinals ended up blowing out the Bears 29-9. And what a weird box score, as the Cardinals had three rushing touchdowns. None by James Conner or Kyler Murray.
Yeah, one was Trey McBride, right?
Trey McBride ran one in. Trey Benson ran one in. So big Trey day. And then this DeMercado guy.
Yeah.
I don't know where he came from.
That's a big scoop.
Is he a rookie?
Oh, no, no, no.
No, he was in the league last year. He went a big waiver wire pick.
I was just going to say the same thing. That he went for a lot of fab in my fantasy league last year. I don't think he was very good, but he went for a lot. Yeah.
Heck of a run.
Yeah.
All right, what about the Dallas Cowboys and the Atlanta Falcons?
Cousins, time, looks, wide open man, touchdown, Ray McLeod.
Three passing touchdowns for Kirk Cousins. He's kind of in a bit of a groove going. He's had some big games. And the Falcons beat up on the Cowboys. Atlanta 6-3. Dallas falls to 3-5. And the big news out of this one was on the sideline, camera clear as day, sees Dak Prescott, and he says, "We bleepin' suck." And you're like, okay, there you go. Not bad.
That's good. I'd imagine McCarthy is on the short list for next coach fired. Him, Doug Peterson,
yeah,
maybe
definitely.
Mayo.
All right, last one, Vikings and Colts.
What happened?
And they'll do a little play action here, looking for the tight end. Oliver! Touchdown! So they sneak a pass in instead of the run as they got close to the two-minute warning. And Josh Oliver on the business end puts the Vikings up 10.
Three touchdown passes for Sam Darnold. Vikings beat the Colts 21-13. Minnesota 6-2. The Colts fall to 4-5. Patriots play the Colts coming up in week 13.
Not a good day for my guy Joe Flacco there.
No.
On Sunday Night Football.
But they're sticking with him.
Did they announce that?
Yeah, I believe that's what Steichen said after the game.
Vikings break their two-game losing skid as they get the win last night. It's Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. That's what happened. Joining us right now here on WEEI is Patriots tight end Hunter Henry. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Hunter Henry, we saw you getting shaken up in the game yesterday. I know you finished the game yesterday. How are you feeling today after getting shaken up a bit?
I'm feeling good.
Feeling good. We saw yesterday a tough loss for the Patriots, another tough loss. Exciting play at the end of regulation for Drake May. I know you've been a part of some crazy plays in your career. Is that the craziest, wildest 12-second play you've ever been a part of?
Yes, for sure.
Well, and that was one, too, where it looked like you got pushed out of bounds or kind of ran out of bounds and realized that, hey, you can't get back in the play. So sort of a heads-up sort of checkout. It looked like Drake May might have been looking at you, but at that point, like, what's going through your head? How are you, like, communicating to him that, like, you're not eligible anymore?
I kind of tried to wave my hands a little bit just to make sure he knows, but it was dumb on me. I got to be better and try to keep myself alive.
We've seen a big discussion today. Jerod Mayo's been asked about it, the decision to go for two or kick an extra point at the end of regulation. Did you want to go for two there as an offense?
I ride with what Mayo's decision is, go to overtime and try to win it in overtime. So, we weren't able to do that, and we got to be better in that situation.
Did you know that was the decision, like, all drive? Is that, when do you find out that you're going for the extra point and not going for two? Is that communicated early in the drive, or do you find out kind of as it's happening?
No, I'm just focused on, we were just trying to score a touchdown and just try to extend the game. So, Mayo and the coaches, they'll make that decision. I'm just focused on what I got to do and what my job is.
How confident are you guys in your two-point plays, like your whatever your bag of tricks is for two-point conversions?
I feel good about all plays, man. So, AVP is a great – he's got a lot of great schemes, a lot of great things going for him. So, I feel good about all of them.
How did you feel Drake May played in the game? Jones and I have been going back and forth on it today. A lot of great stuff. Obviously, turnovers that he would like to get cleaned up. But overall, just his third start, what did you think of his performance?
I thought it was great. Obviously, like you said, he's going to learn a lot from some of those turnovers and just crucial times. He just competes hard. He never gives up. He always gives you a chance. So it's fun to go out there and compete with a guy like that.
Hunter Henry, Patriots tight end, joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. Sticking with Drake May, he's running kind of wild early on in the game. He just came back from a concussion. At any point, are you watching and concerned about his health or some of the hits he's taking?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to continue to learn that he you know, the compilation of the hits throughout the whole game, throughout the season. He's going to learn, you know, when to get down, when to, you know, keep running in a way. He's going to continue to get smarter at that, but he'll get better at it.
What's the atmosphere like in the locker room over recent weeks? I mean, it seems like it's been a bit of a roller coaster. You know, the head coach calls the team soft. You come back out the next week, you get a big win, snap a losing streak, and then you go on the road and, you know, you're that close and end up losing a game in overtime. But locker room, plane ride, all that stuff, how's that going?
Everything's great. We've got a great locker room. Obviously, not where we want to be as a team, as a record, at all. We're never going to, you know, celebrate any of these, anything like this. We've got to be a lot better. And I think everybody, we've been having good weeks of practice. We just got to, you know, keep translating it to the football field on Sundays. You know, we're young. We got a mix of guys kind of in the middle of their careers, new here, just trying to put all the pieces together, and we got to do that consistently on Sunday, and we just haven't been able to do that consistently.
Trade deadline's tomorrow. Joshua Uche already traded. A lot of rumors about your team, your teammates. Do you anticipate any more moves?
I have no idea. I'm just locked in on what I got to do.
Has it changed at all since you've entered the league? It does seem like more and more trades are happening at the deadline. The deadline continues to get backed up. It seems like there's more activity league-wide than there was 5, 10, certainly 20 years ago. How have you seen that change since you entered the league?
Yeah, there seems like there definitely is a little bit more movement, especially among the older veteran players that are just established and really good football players too, especially in the middle of the season. You know, it changes the game up a little bit, but it's good. It can be a good thing for a lot of teams, in a lot of ways.
How do you guys find out about it, whether it's a player being traded away or even like a new teammate coming in? Do you read about it like on Twitter or like at a team meeting? They sort of explain to you what's going on. I'm always curious how you guys find out.
I either have people tell me, or you find out from guys like you guys, the media. So. I don't, you know, usually, especially if we're not in the building, you usually find out from friends or family or media.
Something I stumbled into over the weekend playing video games, as any 40-year-old with two kids would be doing. I was playing the college football video game, and in the Ultimate Team section, they allow you to, there's like different challenges with great college football players of the past. And there I am scrolling through, and boom. Hunter Henry for Arkansas pops up, and
wow.
You can run a few challenges and play as Hunter Henry. Did they reach out to you and ask you about being in the game, or how did that all work out?
No, I've never got a phone call or anything knowing I'm in the game. So I don't know. I might have to follow up.
I think they owe you some money. There it is, Hunter Henry. They got the whole thing. Arkansas, number 84. They have like a breakdown of like different stats that you had throughout your time there. So. I think you're entitled to at least a copy of the game. I mean, maybe
yeah, free copy.
Yeah.
Maybe 50 bucks.
Yeah. I think I've played it a little bit. I'm not a big video gamer anymore.
Okay,
right, very good.
Well, Hunter Henry, we appreciate the time as always. Best of luck this week against the Chicago Bears. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, Hunter Henry, joining us here on Patriots Monday on WEEI. Do you think? Yeah, is that the kind of thing like your agent just deals with, and you don't even know that? You giving your approval, or are they just,
so
they, can't just
I
be,
don't,
they can't just be snaking his name and likeness, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, it's strange because now the reason why they didn't make the game for 10 years was because that whole Ed O'Bannon lawsuit, and they're like, hey, name and likeness and all that crap. And so now all the players in the game that are currently playing college football, and you remember they announced, they're like, everyone's going to get like, it was like $300 in the game or something like that.
Oh, yeah, for current athletes.
For current guys.
Yeah, right.
So like Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, they're all in the game. And they all got like a little something for it. They had to sign a thing. And because remember, originally Arch Manning's like, I'm not going to be in the game. I want to focus on football. Like, how does this take the focus away?
Right.
So he's now in the
game. Put your name in there.
But there's like a separate thing, Ultimate Team, and you can like build up players. So like, you know, Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson from LSU were in it. And like all the way back, all these different Heisman winners. And you can play these different challenges. And they update it all the time. And so over the weekend, I'm going through it. And you're like, Desmond Howard's in there. And you're like, Hunter Henry, who was a beast. He was like a second round pick. I think he won the Mackey Award for best tight end. But they have a whole thing. And I'm like, you would think those guys didn't sign their life away when they were in college. Like, I don't think they can just pop all those guys in there. So I don't know. Maybe it's something for him to look
probably
into.
Probably because they're licensed by EA.
Yeah, it could be. That's
a
good point. That's a good point.
Oh, maybe, but there's also like old dude.
Like when you said Desmond Howard, that, yeah, I don't think he would still be licensed by EA.
Like Roger Staubach.
I do like
that. You know what I mean? Like it's old.
I do like that he's like, yeah, we find out about trades through like friends, family, media. You're breaking news right to him. He tells us that 1 second, and then the very next second, you're breaking news to him. He's like, oh, I'm in this game.
He's like, wait a minute, I am.
I have to sue.
Yeah, he's probably entitled to a couple.
I would think.
Bucks.
Well, maybe he's got it and he's unaware of it. Like again, maybe that's something your agent just takes care of and you don't even know.
We'll ask Gonzalez if he's played as Hunter Henry yet. Do you think he'll answer that? Probably not.
No, I'm going to go with no on that. 617-779-7937. We're going to be joined by Christian Gonzalez later on in the program on a Patriots Monday. We'll continue with all your Pat's thoughts next. Patriots Monday here on WEEI. It's Jones and Keefe taking your phone call. 617-779-7937. We're going to be joined by Christian Gonzalez at some point here today. We just wrapped up talking to Hunter Henry. You can get that on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also seek out the interviews on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. They'll be posted there shortly. We were talking earlier this hour, Keefe, about how they've already signed and then traded Uche this offseason. Maybe they'll do the same with Kyle Duggar, if you believe Diana Rossini, and I know you do.
Always.
Duggar is a player that could potentially move by tomorrow's deadline. We were talking about this off the air. Another guy they signed this offseason, prioritized this offseason, and clearly don't really seem to have a plan for is Onwenu. What was that yesterday? I thought they had finally settled on an offensive line. And they had finally gotten consistency on the offensive line. And then yesterday, despite being fully healthy, unforced error, they kick Onwenu out to right tackle. They plug in Laden Robinson at right guard. It's a disaster. It doesn't work out. And they have to adjust on the fly in the middle of the game. That's another player who they prioritized and seemingly have no plan for.
Yeah, it's strange because Elliot Wolf keeps saying every time he's pressed about it in the preseason and then the first few weeks of the year, like, oh, offensive line. He's like, well, we signed the best offensive tackle or the best offensive lineman, not tackle, excuse me. Best offensive lineman in free agency we signed. That was like, that's his big phrase that he'd always go back to. And it's like, yeah, that was the guy that was on the team last year and they won four games. So like, he's good, but I don't know if he's having a good season necessarily. But part of it is because you're bouncing him around. Like what position is he playing? You know, week to week, do you keep changing it? Like, I don't think that's ideal. And you're right, you really get into that whole conversation, the guys that they brought in, because KJ Osborne's another one who they might trade. Godchild's another one who they ended up re-signing. He had like a mini holdout, re-signed him. They might trade him. Like, you might trade away all these guys that you just signed. And then your biggest piece, you know, that was the guy that had the biggest contract in Onwenu. You keep moving him around.
Yeah, so to me, that's odd. And that felt like an unforced error. Your offensive line, I think, had righted the ship to a degree. You had figured something out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you decide to fiddle around with that yesterday. Tennessee's D-line destroyed the offensive line to the point where I don't think they want to throw down the field a lot in that game. And so that's one where you look at it and go, what were they seeing on film? Like, why was that the decision to go with that offensive line when you finally felt like you had a little bit of traction there? You can jump in on a Patriots Monday here with Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And we're joined now by Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Christian Gonzalez, how are we doing this week?
What's going on? I'm doing good.
We're doing well. It's a tough loss yesterday in a season full of tough losses. You guys go to overtime. It's an incredible play at the end of regulation by Drake May. What are you seeing on the sideline as that's going down, and how crazy was that play from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it yesterday. Nobody was surprised. I mean, we know Drake can extend plays and make plays like that. So, I mean, happy for him that he got to showcase that.
You know, first drive of the game, Tennessee goes right down the field, 75 yards, scores a touchdown. And then after that, you guys made a lot of adjustments. You forced a bunch of punts. You had interception. You turned them over. What was the difference there in that first drive going up against the Tennessee offense versus essentially the rest of the game?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't start fast. I mean, we woke up, started playing our game, and was able to, you know, like I said, force punts, get off the field, and create turnovers.
Just circling back to that Drake May play for a moment and, you know, nationally looking at the play the week before with Jaden Daniels, the Hail Mary at the end of the game against Chicago. Those are different situations, right? One's a Hail Mary, the other you're at the five. How would your responsibilities as a cornerback change on those two end-of-game plays where a quarterback is scrambling around in both of those scenarios? What are your responsibilities and how do they change in those various situations?
I mean, you got to play them two different ways. One of them is, like you said, the Hail Mary, so it's a lot longer. So you know it's going to be a jump ball. The one with Drake, that's we were on like, I don't know, we were close to the end zone. So, I mean, that's a big scramble drill. So that just goes back to backyard football, just trying to follow your man around.
What was it like going up against Calvin Ridley for much of the afternoon? Seems like that was a good challenge.
Yeah, he's a good receiver, good competitor. When he makes a play, that makes a play. I feel like I have fun doing it. So it was a good matchup.
Do you have a nickname for Drake May? Have I heard this right? You have a nickname for him?
I just call him Draco.
What's the genesis? What's the origin of that? How'd you come up with it?
I mean, I'm definitely not the first one to call him that, but I mean, it's an easy nickname, Drake and Draco. Say Draco.
Oh, got it. So
I don't know if it's like a Harry Potter thing. Yeah, is there like a character on Harry Potter?
I thought it was an Ivan Drago.
Oh, Drago.
Yeah, that's
like Draco Malfoy.
Yeah, maybe.
It's kind of a dork take, but it's none of that. You're just adding an O to his name.
Yeah.
This weekend coming up, you got the Bears, and I'm curious, what do you remember about going up against both Caleb Williams in college as well as Roma Dunze?
Yeah, I never played Caleb.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, my bad.
Nah, so this will be my first one. Rome, I went up to play Rome. You know, he's a great receiver. He brings a lot to the table. He's, you know, big, fast, smart, can run routes. You know, I got one of his teammates over here with me, so, you know, I always give him smack about, you know, UW, because we don't like UW, but nah, he's a great receiver. Him, Keenan, I mean, we're excited for the challenge.
Christian Gonzalez joining us here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. After the touchdown to potentially go to overtime, did you expect to go for two there? Did the sideline want to go for two there? How was that playing out in real time?
I mean, that ain't up to me. I play defense. I ain't an offensive play caller. I ain't a coach. So, I mean, that's a coach makes a decision, we stick with it.
If they did elect to go for two, would you look at that as not trusting the defense?
No.
Yeah, okay. No, I'm just asking. That was, you know, I thought you guys should have gone for two. I thought that would have been a good kind of confidence boost to send to the team. Obviously, if you get it, great, you win the game. If you don't, at least you're saying you have confidence. And I did see a couple people kind of on Twitter or on the text was like, well, now you're saying the defense can't do it. And I'm like, I don't think so. And now we just asked the defensive player, and he agrees with me.
Yeah, so in your face.
There we go.
In your face there, text
Thank you.
Line.
Thank you.
So, yeah, that's not a lag comment. Would you, when do you find out? You find out in real time? I asked this to Hunter Henry. You guys just see it as it plays out like we do at home. That's how you find out the decision-making for, like, a two-point conversion?
I mean, again, I'm not on offense. So I'm most of the time on the bench getting adjustments. So.
Got it. Okay. So
you got to ask that to the offense.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We'll talk to Alex Van Pelt at some point down the line. It's the trade deadline tomorrow in the NFL. Joshua Uche already traded off the team. Would you anticipate more moves being made with your team between now and then?
Hey, look, I'm a player. I ain't got nothing to do with all that.
Is that something you guys talk about at all, though? I mean, that's a major change all of a sudden in the middle of the season.
Got nothing to do with all that.
So you guys don't talk?
We don't talk about being the possibility
I'm
of being traded?
Player. I ain't got nothing to do with all that.
Okay.
All right, so it'd be a real shock then if somebody got traded, I guess.
Okay, we'll see if there's any more moves. What'd you think of the Uche trade? I know you're a player, but did you have any thoughts on the trade happening with your teammate?
They made the decision and they went with it. I mean, you know, it's, you want to play with your brother, but I mean, another opportunity for him, so excited for him.
Okay. Trade deadline tomorrow. We'll be covering here on Jones and Keefe. Christian Gonzalez, another strong performance defensively for the Pats. They fall in overtime. You get the Bears this week. Best of luck this week, Christian.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Our interview with Christian Gonzalez is brought to you by Verizon, the official 5G network of the New England Patriots.
For the past three seasons have gone south, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.